Good morning, Lance.
G'day, Luke. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks, buddy. You good?
Yep, I'm good, thanks.
What's up?
Oh, mate, just a bit of this, a bit of that. Up in Queensland, enjoying the sunshine. You know, we've had vast amounts of rain, and it's good to have a bit of sunshine.
It's good to have a little bit of sunshine. Now, you were telling Jess that you wanted to say something about wounded heroes. We've talked a lot about wounded heroes this week, and in the lead up to Anzac Day, I know that a lot of our discussions have triggered memories from ex-servicemen, and I do apologise, and yet I don't, because I need people to understand what a wonderful organisation Wounded Heroes is and that they actually save lives. Now, Lance, you were telling Jess that you actually served 3 terms in East Timor and 1 in Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Correct, mate. Yes, 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 I did.
Jeepers creepers, you must have seen some things. Have you got time to talk?
Yeah, I sure do.
Lance, how old were you when you joined the army?
Mate, I joined the army when I was 18 years old.
And how old were you when you went to East Timor?
I was 22. I was 22 years old.
And you did 3 terms there?
Yeah, I did 3 terms. I did 1 in 99 during INAFET, and then 2002 with the UN mission over there, and then in 2007.
And you've also been to Afghanistan. When did you go there?
Yeah, I did a tour of Afghanistan in 2008.
But you've been in the army since you were 18 years of age. And how many years were you in the army?
I was in the army all up 16 years.
It's a long time, isn't it?
It is a long time, mate.
How old are you now?
Mate, now I'm 44, turning 45 next month.
Tell me, when you've been in the army for that long and you've been overseas and you've done 4 tours, 3 in East Timor, 1 in Afghanistan, does that stick with you forever?
It does. It really, really does. And funny you brought that up, because I have been giving that a hell of a lot of thought over the past few years. And it does. You know, once you've been in the army for a sustained period of time, you tend to depend on that framework. And, you know, upon discharge, when you do, you know, finally leave the army, you don't have that framework anymore, and you don't realise how much of an impact it will have on your life. I certainly did not, and it hit me like a freight train 5 years after I discharged.
Tell me how, if you're okay to talk about it, and you rang me.
Yeah.
Tell me how it hit you like a freight train. I want my listeners to understand what you've been going through.
Yeah, sure. So when I left the army, I opened up a PT business. And it was successful, right? And so, but I was extremely busy. I was working, you know, crazy hours. I was working from 5:30 a.m. up until 8:30 p.m., 6 days a week, you know. And so I was getting all that anxiousness, energy, and all that, like PTSD and all that other stuff out in my work. And I had no idea that that's what I was doing. But then I did that for about 5 years, and then I hit burnout, you know, and I heard that term with my other veteran mates and my other gym buddies as well. They said, you know, you have to be careful of burnout and all that kind of thing. And I didn't listen to them, and everything came to a head one day. I did have a nervous breakdown, and it was extremely severe. I attempted suicide, and it was a real attempt. I pretty much said goodbye to my daughter. I said goodbye it was tough. It was really, really tough. And I had no idea that it would lead to that, you know. And it was a really, really dark time in my life.
How is it that we're talking today? What happened?
Well, what happened was, thankfully, I was found on the lounge room floor by my mother. God bless her soul. And she rang the ambulance, and the ambulance pretty much took me straight to hospital. But soldiers being soldiers, you know, we just dusted ourselves off and thought that we were okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got psych evaluated and all that kind of thing, and I didn't think anything of it. And then another couple of veterans reached out to me, you know, and they pretty much grabbed my hand, and they walked me through the veteran affairs process, which was quite tough. And then, long story short, I found myself going through hard times again, you know, trying to find accommodation here and there and everywhere. And I had no idea who to turn to or where to go to. And that's where I was introduced to Martin Shaw from Wounded Heroes. And the guy has just been unbelievable, unbelievable.
Tell me about Wounded Heroes then. What did they actually do?
Well, what they actually did was they gave me a temporary accommodation on two occasions when I needed it most.
So you're now no longer living with, at this point in your life, you'd left your wife?
Yeah. So I was divorced, all right. That kind of thing. And I was in and out of previous relationships and all that kind of thing.
How old was your little girl?
Ashley at the time. Now she's 21. She just celebrated her 21st birthday on Sunday.
Congratulations. But at the time, how old was she?
During my service.
When you attempted to take your life.
Right. Yeah. She was 16. 16 years old.
Dear. And you actually said goodbye to her?
I said goodbye to her in my mind. I didn't send a text message, but I said goodbye to everybody. It was tough, mate. It was really, really tough, Luke.
So let's get to Martin Shaw and Wounded Heroes. So you've been psychoanalyzed. You were rushed to hospital. You tried to dust yourself off because that's what tough blokes do. And that wasn't enough. And you must have realised, I'm stuffed here. I need some help. How did the relationship with Martin Shaw and Wounded Heroes come about?
Well, it was through another mate of mine, another veteran. And he just said, you know, that he's been involved with Wounded Heroes and whatnot. And he gave me Martin's contact, and I rang Martin, and, you know, just to find out what he actually did, because it's really hard for soldiers to ask for help. You know, that's one of our things that pretty much hold us back. Like we find it ridiculously hard to ask for help. And after just a brief conversation with Martin pretty much, you know, probably, you know, had intuition that, you know, that I did need help. And he helped me a lot, a hell of a lot.
In what way?
Provided housing for me for enough time for me to, you know, just to get back on my feet and just ensure that, you know, that I could be as good as I could be and pretty much just learn, you know, like the rental market and all that kind of thing. And pretty much he just allowed me time to heal, essentially, or heal enough that I could, you know, stand on my own feet.
When you came back from your last tour of Afghanistan, Jess tells me you were a sergeant.
No. So I was a section commander. So I was a corporal in Afghanistan, but I discharged the army as a sergeant.
You discharged the army as a sergeant. That's what I was trying to get to.
So
you were in charge of a lot of men, and a lot of men looked up to you. It must have been very hard to admit to yourself, I need some help.
And you know, it's still an on battling thing, you know. That's what's ingrained in us. It's really, really hard for us to, you know, look within and realize that we do have issues and we have to get them sorted out. But slowly and surely, that's starting all to come up now, and we're getting the help that we require.
This week, the federal government announced that they are going to go ahead with a Royal Commission into veteran suicide. Can you work out like me? I'm fine. I'm scratching my head. Why has this taken so long?
You tell me, mate. I have no idea. Maybe like the government didn't want to admit fault. And I think that this is going to open up a huge can of worms.
What sort of can of worms? That's what I want you to tell me.
So everything from the chain of command, like, you know, in the higher echelons of army down, you know, like sending people overseas way too many times, especially in the Special Forces branch, you know, with all that stuff that's going on there at the moment, those blokes were overworked from day one. And I saw what they did firsthand. And I think that this is going to bring a lot of that up, and there's going to be a lot of brass ducking for cover.
What did you see firsthand?
Oh, just the workload that these guys had.
Like, did you see any illegal or inappropriate behaviour?
Never. I just saw a group of outstanding Australian soldiers you know, in a foreign country, doing what they were told to do and then dealing with it the best they could.
With guns pointed at them and young children armed to the teeth, willing to blow themselves up.
Correct, correct. Like, the media puts a spin on it, but unless you're there on the ground, you can't have an opinion, because war is not normal. It really, really isn't normal, you know. And for what those poor blokes went, or what we all went through, you know, is bloody horrendous. And for, you know, for this to be the reaction, and I don't know the full details, so I can't make a comment as such, but just what I've seen over the media, especially over the past couple of weeks, is just appalling. It really, really is.
And they were going to withhold 3,000 medals because of allegations aimed at a few. They've now decided to go ahead and award those medals. Could you believe that they were talking about withholding them?
That's just the army being the army. It's a knee-jerk reaction, you know, and it was on, you know, on comments that were made on hearsay, you know, just on allegations. And then it seemed that the government pretty much backed families in Afghanistan rather than their own troops.
Tell us this. I'm talking with Lance, who has relied on wounded heroes for his life and for his sanity. Tell me, when you were in Afghanistan, how old were you then?
I was 34.
34, and you were a Lance Corporal?
No. So I was a corporal.
You were a corporal. Tell me, give me and my listeners an idea of what it's like to be in that foreign country and to be looking over your shoulder and worried about being shot and someone taking your life. I mean, I cannot fathom that stress.
Yeah. Well, when you're serving and when you're a soldier, like, it's part of your job. That's exactly what we train to do, and that's exactly what we do. So it's a nothing to us. We thrive in high stress situations, right? What we don't do well with is when there's no stress and no anxiety. So that's where I believe, for me anyway, that's where the problem lies, you know, because you're used to living in that high stress environment where you've got things to think about and you've got this and you've got that and you come up, you know, and you have to come up with quick plans and whatnot. That kind of doesn't exist on the outside. And I think that that's where we fall short, you know, because there's no adjustment back into this world. So, yeah. So from a soldier's point of view, when you're deployed on operations, it's work. You know, it's like being a electrician. It's like being a plumber. You're just there. And you do what you do, and you don't think twice about it. But it's when you come home, and then your body has to adjust with being normal again. It can't, you know, because it's been living in such a high level of stress and anxiety for so long. You can't just assimilate back to normal life and go and buy a carton of milk and eat breakfast like a happy family. You can't do it.
I totally understand what you're saying. You said a few minutes ago with this Royal Commission, you think that there are going to be some top brass in the ADF that are going to be feeling very nervous.
Well, it's only because I was listening to Alan Jones the other night, and he was saying that you know, part of the Geneva Convention is that commanding officers, you know, have to take the hits essentially for soldiers conducting misconduct, you know. And so I don't want to say that that is going to happen. Like, I honestly don't know. But from me just standing on the outside in, just looking and analysing, I think that that's why it's taken such a hell of a long time for this Royal Commission to be pushed, because it's going to have consequences, you know, and some of those consequences aren't going to be well received, I would imagine.
Lance, are you okay?
Yeah, mate, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Just a shame. Like it's an absolute shame that our special forces guys, you know, who work their ass off. Some of these guys have been over there for, you know, 14 bloody tours and 3 months. 3 months since these guys do, and they do not stop. It's just constant killing people, all this kind of thing, and then they, you know, get shipped back to Australia and expect to live a normal life. You know, it's bullshit. It really, really is. And it's disgusting that the media is allowing this public perception to go on, because it's disgraceful, to be frank.
Well, I hope you don't hold me in that same
company? No, I don't. I just appreciate you giving me the platform to be able to voice my opinion, especially for Wounded Heroes, because they're just such a great organisation, and they're helping me and they're helping a lot of my fellow veterans tenfold. Martin Shaw is an angel, and he's doing everything he can to support us. And I hope people donate to him, because he needs it, and we need it.
Woundedheroes.org.au. Now, if anything that Lance has said this morning is triggering, and with Anzac Day around the corner, it's a very triggering time, 1-300-853-080. And that line is manned 24/7 by volunteers, folks. Wounded Heroes volunteers. They don't get paid. No one gets paid. But there's someone there now, 1-300-853-080. Lance, it's been an absolute honour to talk to you. Can I say this to you? Thank you for your service.
Yep, no dramas at all, mate. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks, Luke.
And I wonder if you and I can stay in touch.
Yep, I'd love that a lot. Thanks, Luke.
What is Anzac Day's coming up Sunday. What does Anzac Day mean to you, Lance?
Mate, Anzac Day is just a time for me just to pay my respects to the guys who did not make it home, and also, you know, just honour our country, you know, for what we are all about, like our values, our traditions, which are short lived, but we have a lot to be proud of as well as Australians. I honestly believe that this is the best country in the world, and it just amplifies that for me.
It's been an honour to meet you. Lance, you take care.
Thanks, Luke. Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
This is The Night Shift.